you even called me up and repeated it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, I trusted, I didn't frankly say, only while he's here, I said, there's no excuse for delivering Soviet equipment now. This is not a war. So we got a message from Gresham, which I can hardly believe, saying they stopped all military shipments to Vietnam, and that the only equipment they claim, I don't know whether that's true, but they claim that the Chinese held up a lot of equipment and didn't let it through. They said, so the only Russian equipment that could now be going in is from China.
Well, at least one thing can be said, for whatever it is, since we put that other shot across the bow, and of course, I know that we can make an analysis of the effect that it's, and I've watched this carefully, that it's the weather across the bow, at March 2nd, in the newsrooms. There has been a gradual de-escalation in this. I'm not referring to the infiltration, but in the number of incidents, the incidents are now going down.
Yes. Also, in the infiltration, it's down about 30%.
But that, I understand, can be due to the weather.
That can be due to a lot of things. There are three possibilities with this infiltration.
But at least let me put it this way. I think the warning helped.
It was very
good. Because if we had not said something, the Baxters were going like hell, and they could get stuff down even when the weather's bad. We've known that before.
Our major problem is to, and it isn't the weather's bad yet, the weather will not start turning bad until May. So the weather is not the reason. Whatever the reason is, it isn't weather. April is a good weather month for infiltration.
Remember the months at the end of April, don't we ever like almost a year?
March 30th.
March 30th. Easter. Remember that horrible Easter weekend up there at Camp David?
And I remember when I came in and said to you, if they lose, it's their loss. And you said, oh no, it's our loss. That's when we, every
year. Yeah, we did the Soviet.
That's right.
Anyway, let me say that we clear out. I wanted to do the thing first.
That's I think that's the right thing.
Now, let me tell you, I'm not going to make a hell of a lot of it out of it now, but I don't need to. But, because for your very confidential information, I'm going along. I've also got a good, I mean, I think it's not good if it's necessary. I'm going to announce a freeze in food prices in a moment. So, I'm going to slip that in there. See, I'm going to say, as a matter of fact, it's an entirely different technique. You don't have to prepare anything. Nothing. Because I'm going to use a different technique entirely. I'm going to get all figured out. Because I'm pretty good at this. You know, I have sat here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to figure out 10 lines behind that desk reporting on Vietnam. And through this time, they'll say, there's no president. I'll walk in, have a phone mic on. But it has to be said in a way that the people hear it rather than you reading something you said earlier. destroy the chances for a mutual reduction of arms. It will destroy the chances for a mutual reduction of forces. It will destroy the chances of building a structure of peace in the world. It will increase the nature of war if the United States is weaker than other nations. Whack. Because the military budget is going to be one hell of a fight.
I think it's because I'm...
You see, if we can do this on this point, this is a good time to do it. But you can give me just three or four minutes of what you think, not minutes, but three or four paragraphs as to talking points as to what ought to be governed. I don't want to go into the business of, except to say, I think I will, see, I'd like to express appreciation. I mean, we owe our respect to that. Those who served, for those who died, for those, of course, who went through the ordeal of being POWs. And I'm also going to say, I also said that without the support of the American people,
it's an, not done this. And I support you, I say, I appreciate
time. That's, I have a good time. I said, I can remember there were thousands marching around the palace. I understood there were people that they were done marching on the Detroit. At the time I made the decision, to destroy the enemy sanctuaries. At the time I made the decision to bomb the mine, I had long in order to stop the communist offensive there. At the time I made the decision, December 18th, in order to get the negotiations, get our POWs back, I said, there, you from here in Washington, there were times that I thought that the only voices were those that could be heard. They were so loud. Those who were opposed to the policy, but it was only because the American people, you stood firm that we were able to reach this day. I think I'm not the same.
You must say that.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
You understand that? That's not the lips right up the wall.
Mr. President, if the lips have proved anything, it's that they will not stop until they try to destroy you.
But I'm simply going to say that, and I'm going to say it in a nice way.
Mr. President, you separate yourself from the people and the lips will come after you anyway. In fact, the only time they're not after you is when you're scaring them with the people.
Yeah.
And that has been proved since your election. I mean, it's
inconceivable. Right, it's right on that. With your help, we have come here. Now I ask your help to win the battle of inflation, and I ask your help to keep America strong. Thank you. Good night.
But I don't know a damn thing about the Watergate case, and I don't want to know anything, but where are the civil libertarians? Here a judge gives somebody a 55-year sentence in order to make him talk. Where is the protection of the Fifth Amendment? It was a simple case of burglary. Which didn't work. I mean, a 2-year sentence. First offenders. People who would never do it again, so there's no reason. I mean, one knows they're never going to do it again.
Yeah. Well, the other way is to try to make them talk, I believe, but also for a counsel for the Senate committee to go out and make the charges publicly and then say it there.
I don't worry about it.
Let me say, it is a worry.
If you did this to a liberal, if during the McCarthy hearings, a liberal had been sentenced to 40 years in prison on a trivial offense in order to make him testify before a committee, you'd have every bloody newspaper.
I'll tell you about the McCarthy hearing, I'll go back to my famous, his case and the rest, which, of course, your Harvard friend, the worst, but I'll tell you about it. It's kind of a veil. These words, when they did it in hard times, the Washington Post, all the lips said, the committee, this is no place to investigate these matters. These are serious charges. The place for them to be heard is in the courts. And the only reason I had to go ahead with his case is that Truman wouldn't bring it to the court. But that's all right. Once he got to the court, I stopped the investigation. But the point here, these assholes are saying, oh no, the grand jury isn't enough. The court finding 7 people guilty and given 50 years isn't enough. It's got to be now tried before a kangaroo court before they heard. There's a double standard of it. The only thing to do is to fight it. But getting back to more constructive things, let me say, Henry, we can feel, you can feel a great deal of concert, any sense of bragging or anything. With the two of us, goddamn, against impossible odds. Well, we'll never get any credit, but the hell with credit. The main point is, we turned this thing around.
Mr. Freddy,
we're ready to go down to let us.
You'll get the story for credit.
Let us suppose the day and we left it there. Historical credit for opening the China piece of
work. No. You get historical credit for
the
right thing.
You see, the thing is, the opening to China credit. They'll give to us for the wrong reason. They'll say, we opened the China, it's true, then we brought China to the U.S. together. They won't recognize that opening to China, well, that was the public reason for both China and the private reason.
What's to be?
You know, I'm here. I'm not concerned what the lips say. I'm concerned what the fucking Congress will do.
No president has had, I thought when I was gone, the inhibition. Here we've got a good agreement.
Good agreement?
And if you could ferociously enforce it, if you could whack them once every 6 weeks plausibly, that thing would last forever. But here, no sooner do you have an agreement that our own people work at undermining our own achievement.
Not only undermining, but say that now there's no way you can ever go back in.
That's right. But they noticed your threats. We got a leading complaint from the North Vietnamese.
And, they just thought that it was possible.
And, that there's no complaint, no doubt about that. You'd have a hell of a lot of credit to use up before they believe you won't do what you say, no matter what Congress does.
Well, we should see. Getting back to the other thing,
now, the Russians have also pretty well accepted our scheme for that nuclear treaty, the one that I discussed with you. They've now come back with a counter draft. I don't want to bore you with details because we've now got it in a position where I can practically guarantee we'll have it ready for the...
Could I ask you to do one thing? Have your staff prepare a letter to the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense saying very much impressed I was with the way, I don't know who it goes to with the Defense Department, but the way they handled the logistics and the announcements that they have the release of our prisoners of war to return.
I I know. Our former ambassadors and so forth.
Yeah. Did their best. That's about all. But you know, we could have stopped the thing. And we would have lost this thing. It would have been lost on our very return. It would have been lost in Cambodia. And frankly, with all the pissing around and the terrible problem we had with Laos, it could have been lost there, Laos home.
Well, in any event, Mr. President, if you hadn't done Laos, that would have given them the margin to win the next year.
Well,
the equipment that was the equipment that was lost in 71. First of all, they could have used their military forces in 71 to gain much better jumping off positions for 72.
Right. But then you see when you come down to the Denderets, and then finally the last one. The thing too is to, with all the I just can't realize how you know they hate the press wants to forget the things that they have said. And their criticism. They want to act as if they had said, they think it's unfair when anybody reminds them. They think that's divisive. What the hell were they?
As late,
it was unbelievably bad.
As late as last October, Mr. President, they were telling us that our existence on Cuba was prolonging the war. We were fighting for a corrupt dictator. When, on as late as...
We should never, you had, and your Dick Clifford's words, we'll never settle this without a coalition government.
That's right. And then Clifford, even after the agreement was published, he still said it was a fraud. As late as January, they were calling you a liar. There never was an agreement. That was the line they had in January. Now, the behavior of this, when this story is written, what one ought to do is to put what was said every year, side by side with what was done. Because the worst of it is they were always against us, and yet their proposals, they never even stuck to their own proposals. Everything that within reason that they proposed, we did. You remember all of 71, how they were harassing us about setting a deadline when we had already set it? As soon as it came, as you announced that you had set a deadline, they moved on to something else. They never gave you credit for even accepting.
Well, they used to start with saying, now don't you, won't you agree to withdraw some forces? We did.
Yeah.
Didn't make any difference. Won't you withdraw more? We did. Didn't make any difference. Won't you set a deadline? We did. Didn't make any difference. Oh, well, how was it?
Yeah, but
they're disgraceful. They're abominable bunch of people.
But it was a great achievement, Mr. President.
And also, let's face it, they get no credit for the China issue. They get no credit for the Russian issue. The Russian issue went down the tube if we had to play this thing tough.
Yep.
Look, if we had the dumb May 8, the Russian summit would never have succeeded. In fact, I would have gone.
But if you had gone to the Russian summit under those conditions, every agreement would have looked like an act of weakness.
It would have been true.
And
I would have looked at it.
No, it would then it would have been a disaster.
We know. I agree that it's actually what he is. You know very well. I'm scared to death. We're going to play too much. We know why the Chinese are acting like they are. They're scared of them. They're scared of the Russians. We're going to keep scared.
After you are out of office, this is really the thing that worries me, because I don't see anybody
except Rockefeller
who can play this game.
Possibly. Rockefeller possibly, and Connally possible, but nobody else.
And who can play? I don't think even Connally can play the subtle game. He can play the power game.
The subtlety is. You see, it's kind of a back and forth.
It's a moving back and forth. I saw Echevarria incidentally yesterday, and he's got a lot of schemes for Latin America. I told him, frankly, couldn't talk to him until he's back from his trip. And we want to see what speeches he gives on his trip if he continues to make anti-American speeches.
Right.
But I think we could work out a Latin American charter this year. He practically swore that he'd support us.
Well, I had a good meeting at the OAS
hall,
you know,
not
meeting
them. Yeah, I know, that's the Alliance for
Practice. He's our friend.
Santa Maria.
Santa Maria says there should be an extra doctor for Latin America.
That's what I think. That is what I think. That's what he thinks.
And your man that was here seemed to be very bright.
Jordan. Bill Jordan.
Just tell Jordan to work up something with him, you know what I mean? He wants to meet with the two of us. Let's just get him. This is Latin America's primary words, anyway.
I think if we prepared it well. Incidentally, I talked to the Mexican foreign minister. I told him Rochester's might come down. He said no one pays the slightest attention to Rochester.
Yeah.
He said the only two people they take seriously, they are you and me, because we go alone.
Yeah.
But I think if we prepare it carefully, what we should do, what we could do is, by fall, is prepare a charter, get all the Latin American government, heads of government together somewhere, and proclaim this charter. If we can line up the Brazilians and Mexicans ahead of time, if we can be sure there's a good outcome.
What happens to the Chileans?
They'll be there, but the Mexicans swear the Cubans won't be there. The Mexican president swears he's going to deliver to a charter, not to the Chilean.
One thing I was disturbed about, and I marked it, that happened while you were gone, when we were busy. State Department let those poor damn two Cuban fishermen go back. I had given orders on that, and I was shocked by it. Even the liberal editorial writers of it.
What
in the name of Christ?
Well, we are having a problem. They just don't clear things with us anymore. We are back in the old...
But I want that. I want them really not God damn it. That I was very disturbed. I really was.
Oh, they are looking for some spectacular now.
What, Cuba?
Yeah.
Never. I'll write something out there.
I think that might be helpful if you did that, if I could send to Rogers at some point.
Give it?
Yeah.
I'll take care of it. I don't want anything, any realize. You don't think that doing any business with Captain's going to do any good?
No, Mr. Pedro.
You destroyed our friends now.
And I think the Latin Americans are getting tired of Castro. The Mexicans told me that the behavior of the Cuban foreign minister, the Panamanian thing, turned even the Latin Americans off.
Yeah, they have good manners. I thought this little alliance guy, he is a little Mexican. A wonderful guy. He is our friend.
He's a good fellow. But I think...
But he makes his point in a nutshell. He says the OAS charter was developed 60 years ago, times overrun. He says the alliance was developed 10 years ago, times overrun. He said, advance, overrun. He said, we need some. He says, the Latin American charter, the OAS charter, speaks only to military and political defense. He says, we've got to speak to economic defense. He's right about that. Of course, we still want some military, too.
No.
But my point is, he is totally right about the OAS. The OAS, he says, for example, he said, it doesn't make a lot of sense for some of these smaller countries down there, even the larger ones, to have three ambassadors here in the United States, one to the OAS, one to the United States, one to the he said it's got to be all in one place. You know, that makes sense.
What I think, Mr. President, is I look over the next 3 years what your strategy could be.
2 months. Everything's got to be thought of in 2 months.
I think, and I've already done some preliminary work with the French and the British, and we can begin with the Germans when Trump comes over here and prior to it. We can have an Atlantic charter this week, this year, Nixon's. Dr. Bissot talks this spring, but we ought to keep it in here because otherwise that's planted all over the place. Then you might have a summit meeting with the key Europeans in the fall and proclaim on planet charter. Same with Latin America. You're going to have the summit meeting with Brezhnev in June.
Right.
I think there's a 50-50 chance that we can get show over here in October. Then next year, and we ought to have the emperor over here this fall.
We'll do that.
Then next year you could go to Japan, Russia, and China, having brought out Latin America and the Atlantic area this year. Then Japan next year.
In 74,
Japan, Russia, and China. And then you have pulled the alliances together and we can get in an African trip, but you can't really make
it. I can do the African thing this May.
The only thing that worries me about the African trip this May is
it's
that the priority is wrong.
No, but let me ask you this. As I presented, why not do the African trip and do comedy on the way back? Now, if you explain it to me and you explain it to the others, every audience coming here, we sing what we will sing, we will sing wrong. And just say that it's only a matter that we will have been there, we'll stop there, and we're planning something in the fall. I think, see, Pompidou would be one hell of a stroke.
No, I think you must see Pompidou.
But why couldn't you go there?
Because it gives the French, maybe other Europeans, but really feel it.
They need the French.
You make a special trip, and my concern about going to Africa is basically it's just an eyewash trip because we can't do a hell of a lot for them and shouldn't. And
all right,
to make it your very first trip,
yeah,
when you have this great prestige, because all this crap here doesn't mean a thing abroad. You are now the leading statesman in the West.
Great, anybody else?
Well, no.
And you know, they chip away at us.
They don't.
Here, it doesn't make that much difference, you know. People say
no, there's no question, Mr. President. But Pompidou is eager to see you. In fact, the French, I had a talk with...
Will he come here?
No, but we could meet in Martinez or someplace like that. At least for two.
I love it. That's a frank position.
Yeah.
Is it decent enough? So
far? Oh, yeah.
All right, set that up. Let's send that up for our main trip.
That you can do.
Let's do that so that we get in before the Russian summit.
But if you could get...
You work that on rather than in terms of an African trip. Let's forget the African trip. If we could go to meet Pompey, maybe Pompey then.
Oh, yeah, that definitely. You've got round of May 1st.
May 1st.
Then any time in May, we get Pompidou.
That's right.
The Shah is dying to come over, but he can't come in May.
Right.
We've got to have him in July because he's now off at July.
July, sure, fine.
And,
we've got up there for an hour, I think, in July.
It's August 3rd, I think, something like that.
We'd have to have the Shah. We could do it with one apart. I don't mind with him in a month.
And then you'll really have him very active. But then by September...
No, those visits don't help us particularly in public relations here, incidentally. The visits I have here would never be in play.
Well, Brezhnev will get a lot.
Brezhnev will, I agree.
And then, but then in September...
They're necessary for subsidy reasons.
Then I would consider that. Then in the fall, I think you could very seriously consider a trip to Europe.
Trip to Europe? What about Latin America? How do we do that?
I would do that also.
Where would you go?
I would go to Brazil and to Mexico, and maybe to Venezuela.
How can you go to Mexico?
You can go. That president, if we can get him postured right, is dying to host a meeting of other Latin American presidents.
You see, you can't have Mexico say that. That makes it blow up.
Well, they say no, but let's assume we don't want to run that risk. If it's a meeting of presidents, it could be in Cozumel, that's an island off Yucatan. It's a resort island.
Yeah, I know the place.
So you have a good reason not to be in Mexico City. They would want to give you a tremendous reception, they said, somewhere. You could go to a smaller town like Guadalajara or... but...
If you want Mexico City, it's so obvious, though. Mexico City for an RV, actually. They think they
can
control.
Yeah.
My
Chris. They said horrible things were said about Johnson, and he got the greatest reception. And that was in the middle of the Vietnam War. And they said they would guarantee a great reception in Mexico City. But assuming you wouldn't want to go there. But if you did Brazil, Venezuela, we have to look into.
Or Colombia.
Or Colombia. The good thing that what I like about Venezuela is that it would wipe out the Caracas thing. But one would have to have 100. They have one couldn't afford any of this. But Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela, whatever, and wind up with a meeting of the Latin American presidents in Cozumel, let's say, proclaiming a Nixon charter for Latin America.
A Nixon charter, that isn't good. It has to be theirs.
A charter,
yeah.
Which a new OAS, but a new structure.
As far as the Atlantic Charter, which Roosevelt's even though had another name. So
but a new OAS thing, so that what the structure that emerges then will be associated.
That's right.
Then we would.
Africa, we do nothing except.
Well, Africa, I would take a trip to at some point.
But there's nothing to do about it.
You can judge the politics better than I. It might be more helpful to you in an election year. And then next year we would do Japan, Soviet Union, probably China. If
next,
we can get Joe here.
Next year is the time to do that. I'd like to do some very heavy traveling next year, but all for the first, in the spring, basically, is when I'd like to do it.
Well, I think, my thinking, though, is if you went to China, you ought to do it the first week of October, or sometime in September.
Right.
If we can get, if you can't go to China unless we can get Joe here. But I would like to start working on getting Joe here.
By all means, you got to tell him he must come. Everybody wants to see. He got a hell of a welcome
to him. Oh,
yeah. Well, we'll give him a hell of a welcome.
That ambassador they're sending is an absolute riot. I'll bring him in here sometime. We can't announce it too much, but. Then you'd have finished, you'd have an Atlantic charter, you'd have a Latin American program, you'd have something with Japan.
How do you do this with a second-rate defense?
You can't have a second-rate.
That's your problem. See, that's our problem.
Mr. President,
that's
there's one thing sure.
That's why I'm kicking everybody in the ass. Boy, it's hard.
Everything you have achieved in foreign policy, you've achieved because of your toughness. If
and
you,
respect, yeah.
And respect, if you are seen to be weak, then it would be time.